your head will be centered. The river's just a head. And it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you for tuning in on this rainy Tuesday afternoon, but we went so long without rain, we can't complain about it now. So we're certainly thankful that the good Lord has blessed us with some rain. So that is awesome. Today we got a few things to cover. Before we get into that, you can, of course, listen at Joy 620. If you get home at any point, or maybe you're in the office, you can listen at WRJZ.com. We'll have this up on podcast very soon as well. You can find that at investinghope.com or in iTunes and other places, Facebook page as well, Investing Hope. So there's a lot of things I want to cover. There was some big news in Ohio today with recently the legislature passed what they're calling the heartbeat bill, and it has to do with abortion and life. And Governor John Kasich made a decision on that today and used his line item veto to do some things. We're going to cover that here in a second. But what I wanted to start with first is something very very positive, and that goes at what we've been saying on this show really for over a year now, that we are, as believers, we are a people that should love the others around us. So even if that means it's a stranger, you know, we just saw the fires that happened in Gatlinburg and we were moved to do something. Dolly and all her friends are doing something tonight. They were moved to do something. So they're allowing their words to match their actions. And this story that I'm going to read to you, unless you've been under a rock or not on social media, haven't watched the news, you may not know about it. But what a story, and it just points to the love that we should have for our fellow man, regardless of what age that fellow man is. So Eric Schmidt Mattson looks every bit the part of Santa Claus, and this is from Knox News Sentinel. And of course, you can find this article. It's everywhere now. It's gone viral. It's on USA Today. It's New York Times and all over social media as well. His 6-foot frame carries 310 pounds, leaving just enough of a lap for the kids to sit on. No fake facial fuzz for this guy. Schmidt Mattson's snowy beard is the real thing, albeit regularly bleached to maintain its whiteness. His shag is so spectacular, in fact, it won first place in the natural full beard styled mustache division of a 2016 contest sponsored by the Just for Men Hair Products Company. But there's more. He's professionally trained, custom tailored in red, was born on December 6th, and that date is important because that is St. Nicholas Day, of course. He works approximately 80 gigs annually. His wife, Sharon, plays an authentic Mrs. Claus. His cell phone, with a Jingle Bells ringtone, continually counts down the days until Christmas. Even his civilian attire always includes Santa suspenders. The whole shtick is designed to spread joy and have fun, which it does, except for the role he played several weeks ago at a local hospital. He said, "I cried all the way home. I was crying so hard I had a tough time seeing good enough to drive. My wife and I were scheduled to visit our grandchildren in Nashville the next day, but I told her to go by herself. I was a basket case for 3 days. It took me a week or two to stop thinking about it all the time. Actually, I thought I might crack up and never be able to play the part again." This is what happens when a terminally ill child dies in Santa's arms. "I just gotten home from work that day," recalled Schmidt, 60, a mechanical engineer and president of a packing, sales, and engineering in Jacksboro. "The telephone rang. It was a nurse I know who works at the hospital. She said there was a very sick 5-year-old boy who wanted to see Santa Claus. I told her, 'Okay, just let me change into my outfit.' She said, 'There isn't time for that. Your Santa suspenders are good enough. Come right now.' So he got to the hospital in 15 minutes. He met the lad's mother and several family members. She'd bought a toy from the TV show Paw Patrol and wanted him to give it to the child. He said, as his voice was growing husky, 'I sized up the situation and told everyone, if you think you're going to lose it, please leave the room. If I see you crying, I'll break down and can't do my job.' Nobody entered with him. They watched, sobbing from a hallway window in the intensive care unit. I'm now going to relay what happened next, just as Schmidt Mattson spoke to me." This is the author of the story. "Space does not allow inclusion of the numerous pauses he took while struggling to maintain composure." When I walked in, he was laying there, so weak it looked like he was ready to fall asleep. I sat down on his bed and asked, "Say, what's this I hear about you're going to miss Christmas? There's no way you can miss Christmas. Why, you're my number one elf." He looked up and said, "I am?" I said, "Sure." I gave him the present. He was so weak he could barely open the wrapping paper. When he saw what was inside, he flashed a big smile and laid his head back down. And then the child said, "They say I'm going to die. How can I tell when I get to where I'm going?" I said, "Can you do me a big favor?" He said, "Sure. When you get there, you tell them you're Santa's number one elf, and I know they'll let you in." And the kid said, "They will?" I said, "I'm sure." He kind of sat up and gave me a big hug and asked one more question. "Santa, can you help me?" And so I wrapped my arms around him. Before I could say anything, he died right there. I let him stay, just kept hugging and holding on to him. Everyone outside the room realized what happened. His mother ran in. She was screaming, "No, no, no, not yet." I handed her son back and I left as fast as I could. I spent 4 years in the Army with the 75th Rangers and I've seen my share of stuff. But I ran by the nurses' station bawling my head off. I know nurses and doctors see things like that every day, but I don't know how they can take it. In despair, Schmidt Mattson was ready to hang up his suit. "I'm just not cut out for this," he reasoned. But he mustered the strength to work one more show. When I saw all those children laughing, it brought me back into the fold. It made me realize the role I have to play for them and for me. And that's an article featured in the Knox News Sentinel. Now, some of you may have heard that story and you may be crying. Some of you may have read it initially and you felt tears in the eyes. Maybe you watched it on the news where they were actually interviewing this Santa impersonator. But the reason that I read that to you today is when I read that story, I, of course, lost my marbles because I'm an emotional dude and at times I do that. But it hit me because I have a 5-year-old. And so not only did it hit me that this 5-year-old took his last breath while he was being embraced by who he thought was Santa, but it hit me because that's not the only 5-year-old in the hospital. That's not the only family struggling to figure out whether their child's going to make it another day. And then I think about this big, bullish man who's clad in red and has an amazing white beard. And I thought, he's not becoming a millionaire playing Santa. So some of you are listening going, "Well, we don't do Santa at our house." Well, this isn't the conversation I'm wanting to have. What I'm wanting to say is this guy's not becoming a millionaire by playing Santa. What he's doing is bringing love to families. For some, Christmas is it. Everything leads up to that moment. For a kid, I think back to my own life. Truly the happiest time of year. That's not a cliche. That was what it was for me and my brothers and my family. And so I bring this story up because out of love, this stranger embraced a stranger while they died. Think about that. Think about that. This stranger dropped everything he was doing and went to the hospital to see a kid he didn't know, to bring comfort and love to a family he never met. Why? Because that is who we are. Now, if you watch the news and if you pay attention to culture and society around us, what you would find out is those type of stories are few and far between. What we really are angry, bitter people that are full of hate and despair. Folks, that is not the norm. The norm is what happened in that hospital. is people coming together and crying their eyes out. People coming together when they've lost everything. People coming together for a benefit concert. That is the norm. That is America. That is who we are. It is not the bitterness, the despair, the hate, and the anger that so many want to put out in front. That is not who we are. And so as you heard that story, and as you maybe go search and find the interview yourself, it's on WBIR and other places. As you find that interview, and as you prepare for Christmas, for some of you, Christmas may be the most depressing time of the year. Holidays are funny like that. For some of us, it's an amazing celebration. For others, it's a reminder of broken families, broken marriages, broken everything. But for this family in the hospital, for this family, they can always look back and say, a stranger embraced my 5-year-old while he took his last breath. A stranger that plays Santa. So again, regardless of where you fall on the Santa conversation, I think we all can say that we appreciate this man, this veteran, that grows a white beard and puts on a red suit to bring joy and love to families that he doesn't know and to kids he may never see again. And in this case, literally, we'll never see this child again on this side. And so as we approach Christmas, as we find ourselves in the mundane, in the normalcy, or whatever we call normal in our lives, may we be a people that are led by love. May we be a people that see others around us as image bearers and not commodities that should be traded or used, but people. People that deserve love and appreciation. And so what I'm saying today as a 32-year-old man, if I were to run into this guy with this big white beard, I would say Merry Christmas and I'd give him a big hug, because that is who we are. A people of love. We'll be back. And we're back with Andrew Wood, the Hope Resource Center. Thank you again for listening. So we started off the show. Some of you may say that was depressing, but it brings hope for what we have in society. And so again, as everyone wants to put forth bitterness and despair, and let that be the driver, well, that's not reality. Okay, and we know that's not reality from our everyday interactions. And I'm telling you this from a person that I used to spend quite a bit of my day and my time enthralled in political news and commentators and blogs and just and so what that did was that drove me, raised my blood pressure, brought about anger and bitterness within me. And what that then did is it changed the way I interacted with people. But if we just see others as actual individuals that were created by God, then we will have conversations with them that matter, and we will see things like this gentleman who went to the hospital to be with that 5-year-old, and we will appreciate those things. Here in a little bit, I'm going to talk about a piece of legislation that Governor John Kasich decided to veto. Now, what that's going to do, it's interesting. He vetoed that, and then in the same process, he signed another piece of legislation that will still restrict abortion. And so But when I talk about that, and when you hear from pro-life folks, you're going to hear a lot of pro-life folks that are very, very angry at John Kasich. Now, do I disagree with what he did? Well, you'll find out here in a second. But again, are we driven by our anger? Are we placing our hope in legislation, in courts, and in fallen men? Or do we say, well, we still have work to do? Folks, I'll just let you in on a little secret. We still have work to do. Much work to do. And so, no, we don't place our hope in legislation. No, we don't place our hope in fallen men or in courts. Sure, we encourage pro-life legislation. Sure, we encourage pro-life courts. Sure, we vote for and support those that are pro-life. But if we put all our hope in those things, then we're going to be very, very disappointed. And so again, when you hear these, when you hear this news, and when you read through it, it can affect you, and you can even have righteous anger at it. There's nothing wrong with that. But it shouldn't drive you. And you may ask, well, why, Andrew? Why shouldn't it drive? Well, it shouldn't drive you because regardless of what John Kasich decided in Ohio, there's a pro-life clinic in Ohio that's going to open its doors tomorrow and go to work. There's 2,500 plus pro-life clinics that are going to open their doors tomorrow and go to work. So there is much work to do. This isn't the end of what we're doing. We've made so much progress. So much progress in the life movement. Abortions are on the decline. More young people are pro-life now than ever. More people in general are more pro-life now than ever. These are positive things. Where we mess up as the pro-life movement, if I must say. And let me preface this. I'm not speaking for everyone. This is my opinion. Where we mess up as the pro-life movement is we don't celebrate any of the victories. But we get bogged down in all of the defeats. Now hear that again. We don't celebrate any of the victories. And we get bogged down in all of the defeats. So some will find themselves today after the ruling in Ohio, and they will allow that to bog them down. They won't celebrate the one bill that was signed that will restrict abortion. No, we'll allow that to bog us down into this woe is me mentality. The world is out to get us. The country is falling apart. Even if we believe the country is on the wrong track, even if we believe they're on the wrong side of history, and I do believe that fully in terms of life, we have made a lot of progress. And so when we have the victories, and folks, we're going to have a lot of them, we should celebrate those victories. Now, when things go wrong or when people that claim to be pro-life vote a certain way that is anti-life, then yes, we should call them out on that. But again, don't get bogged down in that. There's 2,500 plus pro-life clinics that are opening their doors tomorrow and will open them the next day and the next day. And we'll continue to get up to serve the men and women of this country and specifically of this community. That's what HOPE is doing. That is what we're doing every single day. Pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, STD testing and treatment. All of those things are happening right here in Knoxville at no cost. Patients that have struggled their entire life are finding hope. They're finding a nurse practitioner or a nurse that loves them, a mentor that cares about them. They're beginning to understand, oh, there's 50 plus churches that stand with Hope Resource Center. There's thousands of individuals here and around this country that stand with Hope Resource Center. So for the first time in many of them of their lives, they are believing that they have value. For the first time, they are believing that there's more for them. For the first time, they may be hearing the gospel. So we don't have time. We don't have time to get bogged down in these minor defeats around the country. And I understand that some of you would say they're not minor. But again, where are we putting our hope? What is our greater mission? Hope Resource Center wasn't opened so that legislation would change, so that courts would change. Now, sure, that's the overarching goal of the pro-life movement, is that abortion would be unthinkable, not just illegal. Well, how does something become unthinkable in a civilized society? It becomes unthinkable when we see hearts transformed, when we see minds transformed. And so the courts can say what they want, the legislation can say what it wants, but the hearts and the minds of the people are up for grabs. So how are we engaging with them? How are we talking to them? You know that story I read at the beginning of the show? Did you notice that when the nurse called, we'll call him Santa, when the nurse called Santa, he didn't say, well, is that family a conservative family? Is that family a liberal family? Is that family, are they Christians? Do they go to church? Are they pro-life? Are they pro-choice? What did he say? I'll be there. You know, when he showed up, the family didn't say, is this a conservative Santa, a liberal Santa, a pro-choice, a pro-life Santa? No. Why didn't they say that? Because that's not what drives them. And it shouldn't be what drives us. It's good to have principles. It's good to have ideals. It's good to stand for something and values. There's no question. But may we be a people that are driven by love and that celebrate the victories, whether they be small or big, and will not get bogged down in the defeats, whether they be small or big. We'll be back in a sec. Even when I cannot see. And we're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. And we today are talking about a number of things. And right now, you know, the last segment I briefly touched on what's going on in Ohio. And I think it's important. And some of you may be listening. You keep talking about it, but I don't know what's going on. So I'm going to read you a quick article about what happened today with John Kasich and why that matters. And then go from there. So Ohio Governor John Kasich today vetoed the heartbeat bill, forbidding abortions when a fetal heartbeat can be detected, while signing into law a second bill banning abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy. So let's clear this up. So heartbeat bill was passed by the legislature in Ohio. John Kasich, who is the governor, who also ran for president, that's why you may recognize his name, the governor of Ohio, what he did was he used his line item veto, and he vetoed the part of the bill that outlawed abortion when a heartbeat was present. So the heartbeat bill says, if a heartbeat is present, you cannot have an abortion. So that would pretty much wipe out all abortion in Ohio if that were to pass and be held up by the courts. He vetoed that, but he did sign the law, the second abortion law, that was banning abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy. So he signed that law, vetoed the heartbeat bill. The second-term Republican previously had expressed concerns about the constitutionality of the heartbeat bill, which would have been the most restrictive abortion law in the nation. Federal court struck down identical measures in two states in finding it was undue state restriction on a woman's right to an abortion at a point when some women do not realize they are pregnant. Here is some words from folks in Ohio. I agree with Ohio Right to Life. This is John Kasich speaking. I agree with Ohio Right to Life and other leading pro-life advocates that Senate Bill 127 is the best, most legally sound, and sustainable approach to protecting the sanctity of human life, Kasich said in a statement. He described himself as working hard to strengthen Ohio's protections for the sanctity of human life. With the heartbeat bill folded into House Bill 493, Kasich used his line item veto, which all that means is the line item veto allows you to go inside of a bill and delete or veto a certain line of it. So you don't have to veto the entire piece of legislation. You can pick and choose which parts of the legislation you want to veto. He signed the other portion of the bill that dealt with child abuse reporting requirements into law. Kasich approved banning abortions after 20 weeks by signing Senate Bill 127, an Ohio Right to Life supported bill that forbids termination of a human pregnancy of a pain-capable unborn child. Current state law forbids abortions after 24 weeks, except to save the mother's life and in cases of rape and incest. Only 145 of the nearly 21,000 abortions performed in Ohio last year occurred after 20 weeks. Kasich, who today enacted his 18th restriction on abortion rights, supports exceptions for rape and incest, but both the bills passed last week by the Republican-ruled General Assembly only contain exceptions to save the life of the mother. The new abortion regulations, which will take effect in 90 days, will make it a fourth-degree felony for a physician to perform an abortion after 20 weeks of pregnancy, except to save the mother's life. The felony is punishable by up to 18 months in prison. A conviction also would result in the loss of a physician's medical license. So abortion rights advocates oppose both bills, but particularly consider the heartbeat bill as a deliberate step toward effectively making abortion illegal in Ohio. John Kasich agreed such language went too far and violated U.S. Supreme Court rulings. He said this: the state of Ohio will be the losing party in that lawsuit. And as the losing party, the state of Ohio will be forced to pay hundreds of thousands of taxpayer dollars to cover the legal fees of the pro-choice activist lawyers. Furthermore, such defeat invites additional challenges to Ohio's strong legal protections for unborn life. Majority Republicans in the General Assembly passed both measures. In a statement, Ohio Right to Life President Michael I don't know how to say his last name, but the president of the Ohio Right to Life said that he supported Kasich's decision to veto the heartbeat bill, which the group opposed. The 20-week ban was nationally designed to be the vehicle to end abortion in America. It challenges the current national abortion standard and properly moves the legal needle from viability to the baby's ability to feel pain. Given the current makeup of the Supreme Court, Governor Kasich got it right by embracing the strategic incremental approach to ending abortion. So the Ohio pro-life folks, the Ohio Right to Life folks, are okay with what Governor Kasich did. NARAL Pro-Choice America, their representative in Ohio, of course is upset because John Kasich signed the ban on 20 weeks. And NARAL wants to see abortion on demand at any time of the pregnancy for any reason whatsoever. And so NARAL is not necessarily an organization that you want to look to for logical or rational discussion, because they just want to see abortion happening at all times, no matter what. And so, of course, Planned Parenthood's upset as well, as they attack Governor Kasich for his time as governor and all the restrictions that he has placed on abortion. Okay, so that's what happened. So again, what you're going to have is you're going to have some folks, the Right to Life folks, and if Ohio Right to Life is saying this, and there's a good chance that other, the national Right to Life folks are also saying that they believe the best vehicle, legal vehicle, to restrict abortion is the 20-week ban. That's the step in the right direction, would be their argument and their belief. That doesn't mean that pro-lifers don't want to see legislation that would ultimately ban and make abortion legal, but Governor Kasich, in looking at everything as a governor, believes that if he were to support that and sign that law into effect, obviously, there would have been a court fight, and he believes that because of the language, it would have lost a court fight. It, you know, eventually, had it even made it to the Supreme Court, it would have been a losing argument, and in that losing argument, the state of Ohio would have had to not only take the loss, but they then would have had to pay the fees of the attorneys of the pro-choicers and the abortion advocates. And so, it, folks, when you get into the politics of it all, it is messy. And Governor Kasich is going to take a lot of heat from pro-lifers. He's going to take a lot of heat from pro-choicers. He's going to take a lot of heat from a lot of people on the decision that he made. Now, had I been the governor, would I have signed it into law? I don't know the answer to that. Probably so. But understanding it, it will cost the state a lot of money to fight it. And so that's a tough decision. What probably should have happened, and maybe these conversations did occur, but there should have been a lot of discussion between the governor, the governor's office, and the House and Senate in bringing this forth. And to be completely honest, they should have known before they passed it whether he would have signed it or not. And if they knew he wasn't going to sign it, the pro-lifers within the legislature in Ohio have blocked this from getting to the governor's desk for the last 2 years because they didn't feel like the court system and the court makeup was a good makeup for winning this. So if they've already blocked it for 2 years, and what's another year going to hurt in terms of legality? Because if they would have passed it, a court probably would have come in, even if that were to go effect in 90 days, a court probably will come in and put a stay on that decision until they fight it out in court. So it's not it wouldn't have become the law of the land in 90 days anyway, because it would have been a back and forth. That's just the truth of the matter in terms of politics of it all. So that's what you have going on in Ohio. So what you're going to hear a lot of pro-lifers upset. You're going to hear pro-choicers upset. But again, that doesn't change the fact that tomorrow Hope Resource opens its doors. It doesn't change the fact that other pregnancy centers across this country are going to open its doors. It doesn't change the fact that in 90 days, there will be a ban on abortion after 20 weeks in Ohio. That's a big deal. That's a victory we should celebrate. Absolutely. And I hope that you are. Again, don't miss the point. An abortion restriction bill was signed and put into law today. Now, the other one was not, but there was one that was. And so let's not get bogged down in the defeat, and let's celebrate that victory. And let's hope that the 20-week ban will become the model legislation for pro-life states all across this country, Tennessee and others. It's very important legislation. That's a step in the right direction. But again, there are pro-life organizations, even with that news today, even with the news in Ohio, there are pregnancy centers in Ohio that are opening tomorrow, and they're going to be serving men and women. And abortion-vulnerable women are going to choose life because those doors were open. If you follow us on Facebook or Instagram, Investing Hope, you will see periodically we post pictures. We posted one today of a beautiful little baby, a little girl. And the text on the picture says, "Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more." And so because you stand with us, because you give of your time, your prayers, your money, there's a bunch of kids this year that are celebrating their first Christmas. Because you give, there's a bunch of families that are celebrating a Christmas with their child for the first time. Because you give, a grandmother became a grandmother for the first time, a granddad, a grandpa for the first time, a dad for the first time, a mom for the first time. Because you give, a little brother gets to look down at his little sister at Christmas this year. Because you give, we're able to do that. Folks, it's stories like those that keep me going. It's stories like those that won't allow me to get bogged down in the defeats. It's the fact that babies are being given an opportunity to live. Moms are choosing life. Families are coming together. Support systems are rallying around. Baby showers are being thrown, all because you give. we have the opportunity to do that. So we can't get bogged down in what some perceive as a defeat. Folks, we are having victories every single day. As abortion vulnerable moms see the scan of their child for the first time and choose life. That is worth celebrating. We'll be back. And we're back. The show is just about over. Thank you again for listening. Again, you can hear this online tomorrow, hopefully tomorrow, podcast, investinghope.com, iTunes. You can get it on Facebook page. We'll share the link as well. So as we approach Christmas, the one thing that I want to point out is, again, don't get bogged down in the bitterness and vitriol that kind of rules the day on the news and on your televisions, and maybe even in your social media feed. Use this, the time that you have off, whatever time, maybe that's 2 days, 1 day, whatever that looks like, maybe it's a week. Use it to rest and relax, to love well, to come around family, to come around friends, to reach out. And folks, we cannot be, as believers, a people that get bogged down and bitter and angry and hateful about everything. What we have to do is lead with love. And when we do that, and stand up for what is right and be bold in who we are, then the rest will take care of itself. And so, you know, we started the show by hearing the story of Eric Schmidt Mattson, who plays Santa and held a terminally ill five-year-old while he died. And we see the impact that he had on that family. We see the impact that story has had on millions that have read it. And then I shifted and I told you about what happened in Ohio with Governor Kasich vetoing the heartbeat bill. So at times we can get lost in, we can lose our focus and we focus on the defeats and not the victories. Should he have signed that bill? Sure, he should have. Of course he should have. If you claim to be pro-life, he should have signed it. If the goal is ultimately to see abortion abolished in this country, he should have signed it. Would there have been court fights? Yes. Would it cost money? Absolutely. But he did sign the 20-week ban. And so that's a step. And maybe the next governor will take another step. But you know what? Getting bogged down and angry and posting angry messages and all of those things, that doesn't move the needle. If anything, it moves people away from what we're doing. And so just like I said, it doesn't change what's going on at Hope tomorrow. It doesn't change what's going on at pregnancy centers in Ohio tomorrow. We still have work to do, and we're honored to do this work. And so if you want to learn more about Hope Resource Center, go to investinghope.com. You can learn about us there. If you want to read our blog or hear our podcast, you can do that there. Meet our team, you can do that there. Facebook and Instagram, great places to follow us as well. Investing Hope, you can follow us and look us up on those sites. So we're getting closer to Christmas. Next week, I will be traveling. I will not be here. So we may run a best of show. I'm not sure what we'll do next week. But it's always fun spending my Tuesday evening with you for an hour as we talk about life. We talk about hope. If you want to, maybe you were listening today and you're saying, you know what? I want to partner with Hope Resource Center. You can make a donation right now. Investinghope.com, a big blue tab that says donate. Click that. Join us in this work. Help us continue to make families complete and help us continue to stand with these families as they celebrate their first Christmas. What a glorious and wonderful truth for so many because you decided to give and stand with hope for life. We'll talk to you soon.
There will